Aleluya. Aleluya. Please help me appreciate God for the life of the man of God, Reverend Julius Omomola. Thank you so much, and your dear wife. Such an honor, and it's a very humbling experience to be here again. While I sat there, I just relived wonderful memories, very touching memories of yesteryears. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap again. Hallelujah. New Heritage Baptist Church, thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Can we pray? Lift your hands and ask the Lord to give you a very definite encounter. In the name of Jesus, ask Him to speak to you. Declare that your heart is open, receptive, ever willing to learn, even by His Spirit. Someone pray. Father, visit me. Visit me. Let your light indeed rest upon my heart. For in Jesus' matchless name we have prayed. Speak to our hearts, O God, and we pray that you will bless us indeed. Let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed be delivered. Let age-long captivities bow to the name of Jesus. And I pray that everyone who is connected or everyone who is here represented will return back with a marvelous testimony. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you so very much. Let's go straight to the Word of God. Two scriptures, and then I'll begin to teach. Just to lend my voice again with Reverend and the leadership of the church to remind you that the sessions continue. It's a long span of teachings. I only have a short session out of the whole thing. So commit yourself to finish up the entire span of the prayer and the teaching weekend. The week, it's a week there, week long activity. And so my sessions only represent a small pie, bigger the whole program. So please do well to commit yourself as much as you can. We still are here tomorrow morning, I understand. And then my final session tomorrow night. Matthew 4:16. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. The Bible says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadows of death, light is sprung up." If that is you, shout a loud amen. The second scripture, John chapter 8 and verse 32. John 8:32. It says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I'll read it one more time. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." For those of you who have followed our teachings closely, I think in the last 1 month, it's been a burden in my heart as God has granted me the grace to travel teaching on this very subject of light. Because I believe that our excelling in the kingdom depends on the kind and the quality of the knowledge that we have. Hallelujah. No believer is truly going to manifest in experience the power, the grace, the glory of God in ignorance. In fact, even if you act, action in ignorance is not faith. What gives your action credibility is that it is acted based, the action is based on understanding. I submit to you that so many people across the body of Christ are very ignorant as to the way the system of the kingdom works. Now, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has very sincere people, men and women, sincere families, sincere ministers of God, sincere businessmen, but not many people have taken out time to really understand the requirement for an excelling life. So our Christian experience is largely full of gaps, and we hope that we will stumble across information or access to some kind of light that can help us produce beauty and color. And you see, that's not the way it works. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 2, please, from verse 1 to 4. Very profound scripture from Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. Give us from verse 1 to 4. The verse of emphasis is verse 4, but let's start from verse 1. 1 Timothy 2. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and honesty. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Let's read verse 4 together if you can see it. Ready? One, two, read. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. One more time. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So I'll be teaching today and tomorrow, and the title of my teaching is Ye Shall Know the Truth. Hallelujah. So the Bible here says that there are two principal desires in the heart of God. Number one, that all men be saved. When it has to do with salvation, there are many dimensions captured in salvation. Healing is an aspect of salvation. Deliverance from oppression is an aspect of salvation. Breakthrough, restoration, but specifically, salvation from sin, from hell, from death, and the grip of Satan. The translation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. This is what the Bible is saying here. That God desires for all men, regardless tribe, regardless gender, regardless your social pedigree. He desires that all men be saved. And then, in addition to being saved, this immediately tells you that what you call the new birth experience is not the whole experience. It only ushers you to begin the journey of your spirit walk. Are we together now? When we believe that all it takes is to give our lives to Jesus, as we say, and we camp there, we are going to live very frustrating and ineffective Christian lives. This is the experience of many people. When you say those who are saved, if you know you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, most people will stand up. But if you ask how many people are truly living a life of purpose, victory, grace, enjoying their Christian experience, and how many people have seen that which is written become true in their lives, very few people will rise up. You see that? So the Bible says God desires, number one, that all men be saved. And then number two, that all men come unto the knowledge of the truth. Unto the knowledge of the truth. That means you can be saved and not know the truth. You can be saved, genuinely saved, and not know the truth. The truth about your victory in Christ. The truth about how faith works. The truth about the devil. The truth about God. The truth about life. Are we together? The truth about your health. The truth about your destiny. It says that the moment a man takes that initial step to make Jesus Lord of his life, your next assignment, as far as manifesting the victory of the kingdom is concerned, is to begin to pursue truth. And when Jesus was speaking, he said, sanctify them by thy truth. He says, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. Conferences like these are designed to be, number one, times of intense prayer where we submit ourselves to pray. But conferences like this are a feast of light, where God brings life applicable truths. Truths that will serve as ladders and help us to ascend heights, not just in the spirit, but in life and in destiny. You can sample two believers, one by my left and the other by my right, and all of them will testify that they have been saved. Yet you look at the quality of their lives spiritually, financially, even within the context of society, and you find out that one on one side may be living a very defeated Christian life, a life that does not give a true representation of the victory that is in Christ. Whereas the other one is living such an excelling life, a life that compels praise. Maybe I should tell us that it is important for us to know that our results and our excelling in the kingdom is important for God. Are we together now? If you do not know this, the passion to press to see your life rise to a higher point of excellence may not be there. Let me give you three or four scriptures. Number one is Matthew chapter 5, from verse 13 to 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, he says, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. 14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill that cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all who are in the house. Final verse, let your light so shine before men. You can read it with me. That they may see your good works. And you see that now? They will not glorify your Father if they do not see your good works. So you truly want God to be glorified? It's more than singing it in a special number. Singing "Be Glorified" as a song is wonderful. But when your life does the singing, it becomes a more powerful rendition. Are we together? That when men see your good deeds, they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. Scripture number two, Galatians 1:24. Simple but profound scripture. Galatians 1:24. Let's read it together. Ready? One to read. And they glorify God in me. One more time. And they glorify God in me. So God can be glorified in and through a man. That your life becomes an epistle, literally an epistle, that when people look at your life, they are compelled through the workings of the Spirit in your life to give glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the third scripture? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. Ephesians 3 and verse 10. Let's read together. Ready? One to read. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So the Bible tells us that the revealers of the wisdom of God are not spirits somewhere. They are not angels somewhere. It is the very church of the Lord that is saddled with the responsibility of manifesting the manifold or multifaceted wisdom of God. There is a level of wisdom that should emanate from the church. Are we together? The Bible calls it the wisdom of God. Final scripture. John chapter 1, 6 and 7. John chapter 1. Is God helping us already? John chapter 1, 6 and 7. I'll read verse 6, then we'll read verse 7 together. This is the universal mandate of every believer. It doesn't matter if you are a pastor, you are a businessman, you are a career person, you are a family person. Does not matter the geography of your assignment. This right here should be the creed of every believer. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. Please read with me verse 7. Ready? One to read. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. There is something called witness of the light. Witness of the light. Witness of the light. That a man can be the witness of the light. That men, through the efficacy of your witness, might believe. That means if my life and your life remains barren, impotent, we are robbing God of a dimension of glory that He should enjoy. Are we together now? When the light, the beauty, the grace of God emanates from your life, is more than just being a successful person. That is too small a reason. God will not invest His life, invest His blood, invest His name, invest His Holy Spirit just to make men successful for the fun of it. No. The Bible says He does these things for His name's sake. Hallelujah. It then means your life is a sermon that was prepared by God, and there was someone who had been mandated to understand and to listen to that sermon. If your life does not reveal the glory and the power of God, there is someone who may never have the opportunity to know God and to give praises to God in and through your life. The meaning of all this is that from tonight, in the name of Jesus, your life will stop being an object of shame and reproach. That everything that has made God, men doubt God in your life, it will change in this conference. In the name of Jesus Christ. He desires that all men be saved. So you see, when a believer is not saved, trying to give that individual, or when an individual is not saved, and you are trying, no matter what you do to an individual, as an addition to improving his life, if it comes before salvation, you are wasting your time on that individual. The profiting of any other spiritual investment on an individual, it only becomes rich and wise if that individual is a believer. Are we together? That means if you are mentoring somebody who is not even saved in the first place, ultimately you are wasting your time, because that person is still a bona fide candidate of darkness. On legal ground, Satan has authority to buffet that person. Are we together? The only escape route given officially that translates a man to a realm where it becomes illegal for Satan and any unclean spirit to reach them is salvation. You can pray for an unbeliever who is sick and he will be healed. You can minister deliverance to an unbeliever who has all manner of demonic oppressions. You can counsel an unbeliever, but all these will prove to be temporary solutions. Before Jesus died, he healed, but he still died. That's to tell you that healing was not the ultimate. Before Jesus died, he still ministered to the sick. But everybody who was healed, everybody who was delivered, had to be saved to be free. Are we together now? So in order of priority, your greatest passion for anyone you see is number one, that they be saved. Now, God will heal, God will prosper, but I'm saying every other investment and contribution to the life of an individual is truly, from an eternal perspective, a waste until that individual is saved. Now, it can provide succor. For instance, if you go and help the less privileged, are we together? If you provide food and bread for them, the Bible says pure religion and undefiled is this, you know, to help the needy and the poor. So there is a place for that. But if you truly love an individual and you want to help that individual, your greatest commitment is to see that person saved. Getting individuals saved is not the issue of, it's beyond just the passion to be evangelistic in your approach. Most believers have not learned the value of salvation to an individual's destiny. It's more than just escaping from hell. It's more than just having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is the only way. Are we together now? Yes. Your official exit from darkness, from the grip of Satan, and every other thing that has come with that darkness. So there are many people who will prefer to enjoy every other provision and blessing in the kingdom except the salvation of their souls. And somehow, we have programmed ourselves to believe that if I put three people here and I minister healing for the one, and the person is healed, we will rejoice and even roll on the ground and worship God. And I minister deliverance and demons are casted out of this one. And then to this one, I lead him to Jesus. In our minds and subliminally, we have been programmed. If we are to arrange those miracles, we usually will give credit to the miracle of healing because it is most charismatic and spectacular. But in this conference, God is helping us to understand that the greatest of the three has been the salvation of that man. As quiet, as basic as it looks, a real translation just happened from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. So God desires that all men be saved. That means if your child is not saved, it is your number one project. If your husband is not saved, don't just think and say, Lord, give him a house. Those things are wonderful. But from an eternal standpoint, you see, ladies and gentlemen, if you do not have the lens of the Spirit to interpret life, you will focus your life and your attention on so many mundane things. A man ceases to breathe in about 10 minutes, medically speaking, and the person is declared dead. It does not matter what was working. It only finds its value when you are alive. Are we together? There are many people on their way to hell. Rich, but on their way to hell. Healed, but on their way to hell. Intelligent, but they're on their way to hell. So just praying for breakthrough and increase and prosperity, these things are all wonderful, but verify that the individual is saved first. Then every other blessing now becomes an added advantage. Are we together? So God desires, we are working that scripture now, that all men be saved. And whilst you are listening, if you've not made, how do you get saved? Do you know? As simple as the matter of salvation is, you will be surprised that the average believer cannot tell you how an individual becomes a believer. You are not saved just because you came to church. Now, coming to church increases your potential to be saved because you have an opportunity to hear the word, the gospel preached. Are we together? An encounter with a pastor does not give you eternal life. An encounter with a good church does not give you eternal life. In fact, an encounter with the Bible does not give you eternal life. This is a book that was produced by a publishing house. It's a compendium of historic materials. There are many people who are unsaved and they have more Bibles than you in their homes. Some of them are historians. Some of them, in fact, their research that gave them PhD was around religion, and yet they are not saved. They know more of Bible history than you may know in all your times of ministry together, and yet they are not saved. So when Jesus came, he made it clear and straight the pathway to salvation. And I want you to just lend me 2 or 3 minutes. God is helping the church to come into maturity, and I want to tell you without missing words how an individual gets saved before we continue, so that if you have not passed through that route, you can be sure you are not saved. Even if you were crying while the preacher was preaching, you were still not saved. There are people that Jesus credited to, they said they were not far from the kingdom. Standing near my house does not bring you inside my house. Are we together now? There are beggars that hang around very nice houses. It does not automatically qualify them there. So Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, John chapter 3. And he said, Rabbi, verse 2, we know that thou art a man sent from God. He says, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Then Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can this be? Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Then he said, verse 5, I say unto you again, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now fast forward to verse 16. still speaking to Nicodemus, he said, "For God so loved the world," John 3:16, "that he gave his only begotten son." Now, when you are quoting this scripture with intelligence, you cannot say his only begotten son, because Jesus is no longer his only begotten son. He is now the first begotten of we the brethren. We are also sons of God now. Are we together? Yes. So the Bible says that whosoever, watch this now, this blessing is for whosoever, Yoruba, Igbo, Hausa, American, European, whosoever believeth on him, not on it. Believeth on him. You need to believe in a person, not just an information. It takes more than an information. The information is about a person, but your faith must be on that person, Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Can I show you one more scripture? Romans chapter 10. Let's go to verse 10. Or Romans chapter 10, 8 to 10. It's important to make it clear. What does it take for a man to be saved? Biblically. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess. Please say confess. One more time, say confess. Confess with thy mouth. So your mouth has a role to play in your being saved. You don't meditate salvation. Are we together? With thy mouth you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt believe with thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So God designed the system for administering salvation such that, number one, you will have to acknowledge. You see, the prodigal son came to himself and said, how many hired servants has my father, and I am here feeding with the swine? He didn't have the power to change his status, but he had the power to decide. That one is given to any man. God will not force salvation on you. You cannot, you don't have the power to translate yourself, but you have the power to decide. Are we together? The young boy got up and began to walk back home. That one was within his power. Like when I make the altar call later on, it's within your power to stand up or to leave your seat to come. That one, God has given you the power. It's the power of your will. You can use your will and reject Jesus consciously, and he will respect your decision. Hallelujah. So God desires that all men be saved. I say this because, just because you have sincere people in church does not mean they are saved. It takes more than a nice heart and a wonderful, trouble-free individual. That does not equal salvation. There are many people who will not look for your trouble. They really are very sincere people. In fact, wonderful, but they are still going to hell. Are we together now? Yes. Jesus said, I am the way, not we are the way. There are many ways, but there is only one. Jesus, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man, he says, cometh to the Father except by me. Jesus also said, I am the door. What does that mean? The authorized access into the kingdom. If you claim you are in the kingdom and you followed another door that is not Jesus, number one, you are in a wrong place. Because if you jump through the fence and you enter my house, you are in my house but you are not welcome. You are most likely a thief. Am I right on that? The way into my house is not the fence. The door is the authorized access. Jesus also said, I am the good shepherd. It says the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You need to know all the things Jesus said he was and he is, as far as your salvation is concerned. So Paul was teaching his son Timothy, and he said, God desires that all men, that includes your spouse, all men, that includes your driver, all men, that includes your workers, all men be saved. And then, when salvation, the matter of new birth is sorted, we can now delve into other areas. So you see that salvation is very important. But as important as new birth is, please let me have your attention. As important as new birth is, it is not the ultimate of the believer's journey. It is only an initiation. It begins the process of walking in the kingdom. Are we together? The next assignment for any believer that gets saved, it's not just to keep his Bible and come to church just ordinarily and go back and say, after all, I'm a Christian. There is need for efficiency. So the Bible says the second desire, that means when you are saved, you've satisfied one great desire in the heart of God for you. The second desire is that the same all men, that they come unto the knowledge of the truth. Because you see, this life you have received and this kingdom that we are part of, excelling in it is knowledge dependent. Please, if you are writing, write that down. That excelling in the kingdom is knowledge dependent. You can fail and fail so woefully that it does not, there will not seem to be anything in your life that is an advantage of eternal life because of ignorance. Your next assignment is to be on a pursuit, a campaign to damage spiritual ignorance. Now, this leads me to the discussion on darkness. Let's talk a bit about darkness. The word darkness is a very interesting word. The first mention of it is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. Genesis 1 verse 2. 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, or the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, it says, and the earth was without form. Watch this now. And void, and darkness. This is the first mention of the word darkness. Was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3 now says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. So from scripture, we see that the first assignment, as far as bringing beauty and glory to the earth is concerned, was to do something about darkness. Watch this. Are we together now? Yes. For as long as there was darkness, nothing else could happen. The issue of man and creation and nature, it could not even be appreciated. When God came to the scene, the first thing he did was darkness, you need to go. And the moment darkness departed, then every other thing could come. And that was the first time we began to see the mention, and it was good. And it was good because darkness was no longer there. And it was good. God made this in light, and it was good. The word darkness in scripture connotes many, many meanings, but two essentially. Number one, darkness is always related to ignorance. Please write that down. Darkness, according to scripture, is always related to ignorance. The definition of darkness is the absence of light. Always related to ignorance. Number two, darkness is always connected to evil. So every time, no, in most cases, except for a few exceptions, whenever you read about darkness in scripture, it talks about ignorance, and then number two, it talks about evil in its entirety, in whatever form or fashion. Hallelujah. And you know from scripture and even from science that in the presence of darkness, there are many negative effects. For instance, darkness affects vision. If the lights in this entire auditorium were put off, you will not be able to see. Is that true? Yes. With your eyes sound and correct, you will still not be able to see or see properly. So darkness affects vision. Number two, darkness affects speed. Think of what happens to your headlamp in the night. Assuming you're on your way from any location in Lagos to any location, and then for whatever reason, maybe a fuse or something goes bad and your headlamp does not work. It doesn't matter whether you are driving a Bentley, a Rolls Royce, a Golf, a bus. It does not matter. At that point, the deciding factor as far as your speed is concerned is not the quality of the make of the vehicle. The absence of light can limit you. You will have to slow down and hope that you will arrive home safely. And may God help you that it's not raining with thunder and all kinds of things. Are we together? Darkness affects speed. That means when you dwell in the realm of darkness, you will crawl your way through destiny and never be able to do anything that is of substance and of worth. And this is the case with so many people. They have the advantage of days, but no accomplishments captured in their days. Calendar years keep coming and recycling again and again, and there is nothing constructive at all. But one of the most disturbing effects of darkness is that darkness alters identity. In the presence of darkness, you cannot really know who is who. A light-skinned person may carry an interpretation like a dark person. Are we together? A male can look like a female. An old woman who deserves respect can look like a child. You can mistake a small child for an adult. There is always confusion in the presence of darkness. You cannot accord the honor that is due men in darkness. That reminds me of the story of Jacob. That should be Genesis 29. When you read from verse 22. It was in darkness that exchange happened. Having worked for Laban for his wife, based on his desire, was Rachel. But drama happened because there was darkness. Remember that story? The man got up in the morning when light came and said, "What is this? I really wonder what happened." That you can imagine what darkness happened. I mean, darkness happened to that man, and in his mind, he thought that he was with Rachel, only for him to wake up in the morning and say, "What have you done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel?" He said, "You have beguiled me because of darkness." Darkness can misrepresent you. You are a king and a priest, but darkness can give you another identity that is far from what God has said you are. Darkness can make you look weak. Darkness can make you look limited. It can alter your identity. No wonder the Bible says in Psalm 82 and verse 5, "They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course." Verse 6 says, "I have said, ye are God, and all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like mere men and fall like one of these princes." How many great champions have been bound by darkness? Look at the madman in Gadara. That man was a great evangelist, but look what the kind of identity. Till today, we do not know his name, except we research through history. Darkness was so much upon him, there was no mention of the name his mother gave him. Only God knows how many people would have been called, named after that great evangelist. But darkness simply called him the madman in Gadara. Is that a name? Was the man not healed? Why did his name change? Even when we are talking about the man who saved many, we still call him the madman in Gadara. Hallelujah. Darkness can create all kinds of names. The woman with the issue of blood. The crippled man at Bethesda. Darkness gives people names that their parents did not give them, that God did not give them. What of the name Ichabod? No mother would name a child like that. Only one mention of a woman who was angry at the situation of her child and named him Jabez. And the gentleman said, "No, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. I can't carry this stigma. This is not me." I'm saying this because for someone here, you came for this conference. What you see in your dreams and visions is not what is appearing in your dreams and visions, and by prophecy that they told you there were certain prophecies upon your life as you were born, but there is absolutely nothing like it today in your life. A prophecy of glory, a prophecy of grace, a prophecy of greatness, but what is happening in your life now is like that rejected stone. people use you to counsel others, to say if you must fail, don't even be like so and so. In the name of Jesus, I don't know who has carried that shame and that reproach in your life. I call upon my God that that reproach must leave your life permanently. Hallelujah. There was this man in the Bible in John chapter 5. Are we still together? The Bible says that man was lying down close to a pool called Bethesda for 38 years. No friend, supposedly no family members. Didn't a woman give birth to him? This is what darkness can do to men. Left the man alone for 38 years. I'm sure people would pass and tell their children who were now adults, remember when you were born, we passed and this man was here. And they said, Daddy, but this man is still there till now. And people just nod their head and pass. And one time a stranger just walks up to him. And Jesus said, why are you in this condition? What can I do for you? And he said, I have no man. Darkness can take away good people from your life. Job, who was the wealthiest man in the East, please listen carefully. The wealthiest man in the East, he had all kinds of people, herds and children. The moment his children died and everything left him, his relatives, his family members, everybody deserted him. The last and only person who was standing with him was his wife. There are some of you right now, when you call your surname, people are surprised why you are in that situation. Because there are so many people connected to you in the place of influence, but darkness has made people to reject you. And you've been isolated and left alone. Tonight you have come to know the truth. In the name of Jesus, the assignment of the truth is to make you free. Every time I read about the madman in Gadara, I feel so sad. The Bible says the man cut himself, lacerating himself day and night, bound by this wicked spirit. Hallelujah. Many years ago, I was in Port Harcourt, and I remember going, it was a company, I was to meet someone there, and true story, the woman, I think one of the women, she was dressed, you know, these security companies that were outsourced, and I remember just asking her to help me reach someone and let the person know that I have come, you know, as we're having an appointment with him. And I looked at the woman, she sounded so brilliant, and God is my witness. The woman told me that she was wrapping up her PhD. Now, not to insult the job, but not for that status. This is what darkness can do. It can alter your identity. That when someone looks at you, he says, you were, when you were 20 years, you were full of life. I thought by now you would have done great things for the kingdom. What reduced you to look like yesterday? This is the case with many people. Darkness can truly alter your identity. That the glory and the grace that should emanate from your life is no longer seen. And people look at you and it's like you are a testament of woes and reproach. So when God said, let there be light, that is a real miracle. Let there be light means let your tears come to an end. Let there be light, listen, let there be light means that the reign of darkness over your life misrepresenting you. Whose house are you going to? This woman, don't go there. If you want to make it, don't go near that house. There is a spirit in that house that anybody that enters there goes down and people begin to avoid you. There are many of you, you are carrying, you know, pastor said something in joking in passing that there were two kinds of boats in the Bible and there were two men that entered that boat. Somebody entered the boat, he didn't insult anybody. He didn't look for trouble. He just carried a spirit into the boat. And people started going down. They lost their properties. They lost everything. Another person was in the boat and both of them were sleeping. Hallelujah. Darkness. Darkness represents evil in its entirety. I have seen families with graduates for many years that none of them can earn up to 10,000-20,000 in a month. And you will see a woman who labored and gave birth to children, handsome gentlemen, beautiful ladies, and yet no door opens. Darkness is dangerous. Listen, as we begin to pray tonight, make sure you don't keep quiet. Get angry and say, this thing has to leave my life. This reproach that has come upon my life that is called darkness. The woman with the issue of blood, is that a name? The madman in Gadara, is that a name? No. Every child is named at birth. What happened to these people that their problems replace their names? That's what darkness can do. It can carry your problem and replace your name. A name that means beauty and color. Yet people will forget your identity and tie you to something. That family where nobody rises. That family where all the ladies is like they're a curse. They come into the life of any man, he goes down. That family where the gentlemen and the women and the... No, no. You have to insist that light will come to change that identity. For as long as it was darkness, listen, Jacob did not know which was Leah or Rachel. But when it was morning, the arrival of light, he could see clearly. Hallelujah. When you tolerate darkness in your life, you will live a defeated Christian life. I told you that darkness in scripture essentially represents ignorance and evil. That means the assignment of light is to deal with these two things. To deal with evil, but to deal with ignorance. Most believers only focus on the evil part, the evil spirit, but they do not focus on the fact that darkness is also ignorance. You can cast a spirit in one moment. You don't cast ignorance in one moment. Are we together? With one declaration in the name of Jesus, an evil spirit that has tormented individuals can go, but it is a process to drive darkness as ignorance. And many believers do not have the discipline to stay and get the truth that brings them liberty indeed. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth that you know and you engage by faith is what will set you free. That the truth can make men free. Are we together? Are we learning now? How do you know the presence of darkness in your life? By searching around for every aspect in your life that is inconsistent with what the Word of God said should be. It tells you that there might be darkness roaming around. Any aspect of your life that is inconsistent with the written word, inconsistent with the spoken word, must be an area of immediate project, because it only tells you that darkness is roaming around there. This is a call to take responsibility. Listen carefully. When you tolerate darkness, you permit it to grow. I hope you know darkness can grow. Yes, sir. The Bible says, for darkness shall cover the earth. That is a level. Then when it grows, it becomes gross darkness. The people. It first comes as darkness. But when you permit it to complacency and giving of excuses, it now begins to grow until it is called gross darkness. So Isaiah 60 and verse 1 says, arise, shine, your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It says, for darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but upon you the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So I want you to settle it for a fact. Before we begin to deal with all the aspects of the kingdom that the Bible calls light, it's important for you to know that the limiting factor in the life of many people is either, number one, they are not saved, or number two, if and when they are saved, then there is a reign of darkness in their lives. Darkness as the manifestation of satanic forces, evil spirits, wicked spirits, or darkness as ignorance, most likely both. When you want to deal with darkness, it takes more than administering deliverance. You can cast the spirit, but if your mind is not transformed, are we together now? You are still in darkness. Spirits are not the only test of darkness. Ignorance is also darkness, even when there is no spirit there. And when there is ignorance there, the spirits can still return, because darkness will invite them. Your ignorance will give them the access to come back again. If you're understanding what I'm teaching, you say amen. So apostle, where do I start from? That you are unsaved, you need Jesus in a hurry. When that decision is made, then the next decision is to be ready and to be willing to embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to embrace the Word of God, and then to begin a radical journey of enlightenment. Enlightenment. Ephesians chapter 1, please, from verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, help me, the spirit of wisdom in the revelation in the knowledge of him, 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, amplified says, flooded with light, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, 19 now, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Where do I start from? The determination to eradicate darkness in all forms and fashion. And it starts, number one, by commanding by the blood of Jesus and by the name, that these spirit influences that have come to represent doom and darkness in and around your life, and that one you will experience it in this conference. But then the responsibility of launching a merciless campaign against darkness dwelling as ignorance. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding darkened. You see it there? Ephesians 4:18, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. There are many miracles in the Bible that the Bible will record that there were places Jesus did not heal them. Did not heal all, he healed some. There were places the Bible says he healed all. But I have studied my Bible, and there was no blind man in Scripture who met Jesus and went without healing. Jesus took the subject of blindness personal to a point that he prayed for one person twice. Jesus will hardly pray for one person twice. If he met you once, that was it. But he was insistent on seeing that a man's blindness left him. He prayed for him and said, how is the situation now? He said, I see, but it's not clear. I see. He said, no, I will not tolerate that little darkness left. I will still pray again. I see men like trees. He said, no, men are not trees. They can be like trees, but they are not trees. He prayed for him again. Jesus had zero tolerance for darkness. Are we together? Light. Why are things not working in my life? I love the Lord with all my heart, but what is the key to an excelling life? What is the key to dominion? What is the key to a life of grace? What is the key to longevity? What is the key to breaking free from these yokes of darkness? It's not my fault that I was born from the family I was born from. Must I suffer the limitations because I was born there? There has to be a way to liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. Just because you have dwelt around darkness for a long time does not mean that light cannot set you free. Let me give you an example that many of you who listen to my teachings have given this example time and again. Imagine with me a room that has been dark for 6 years. You have that in your mind? Dark for 6 years. No one has put the bulb on. Imagine another room that has been dark since last year. No one entered that room. Two rooms now. Imagine a room that has been dark since last week. No one tried to put the light on. Imagine a room that has been dark since this morning. So we have four rooms now. Many years, 6 years, 1 year ago, 1 week ago, a few hours ago. Now, assuming there is a central command that switches on the bulbs. When you switch on the bulb and it's supposed to affect all four rooms, which of the rooms will be lit first? Help me. That means no matter how long the room has been dark, if it is authentic light that comes, the timing, the longevity of the darkness does not matter. If that room is not lit, something is wrong. I just dramatized John 1:5 for you. For the Bible says, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There has never been a time when light and darkness sat down to discuss and negotiate. The presence of true light is the immediate exit of darkness. Do you believe this? When I found this key, I became a student of light. I said I would take responsibility for my life, and no matter how long it would take, I would be a student of scripture until I eradicate darkness. Darkness that can tie a glorious and a beautiful life and render you to be helpless and look hopeless. You need to take responsibility. Apostle, are you aware of the kind of darkness and witchcraft and wickedness in my family? I assure you, it is because true light has not come there. When true light comes, you will see the power that raised Christ from the dead over principalities and witches. Listen, you know, when people talk about, of course, I understand that people are in pain, and sometimes they say, Apostle, I know that you've been doing this thing, but you don't know the kind of problem in my family. And I say, you think so? Do you know the kind of problem that was in my own family? Everybody met problems. There are no empty mountains. There are always giants on every mountain. So because you met your own giants and we killed our own, don't make a mistake and think when you see a clean mountain, warfare happened there. Well, there were giants that were subdued. There are no empty mountains anywhere. Every family had devils somewhere. If you find them silent, they were made to be quiet. It says, now thanks be to God, which causes us always to triumph. Are we together? Because sometimes we don't contend for light that brings victory because we like to attract sympathy and say, my case is a special case. I submit to you by the authority of scripture that there have been nobody's case was worse than Job's case in the Bible. At least not in modern history that I know. That in one day, look at the tragedy that came to a man's life. Your children, your estates, your business, in one day. He was the headline everywhere. Job, some will say that power you went to collect, now it has finally caught up with you. And then as if that was not enough, then boils began to come out. Imagine you were married to such a man. People will look at you and advise you and say, you are still here? This guy is already dead. Don't blame her for saying, curse God and die. Would she spend the rest of her life there? And Job said, no problem. You can say all you want to say, but all the days of my appointed time I will wait. But I love Job chapter 42 and verse 10. It says, and God restored. This is the God we are talking about. God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. That for someone by December, when you come here for service, your testimony will be your tears of joy. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Do you believe this? God is able to turn the lives of men around. Don't get too used to darkness. It's been there for 20 years, but let light come and you see what will happen. And you see, the product of light, the Bible says the word of God is quick
and powerful. When it comes, it can do a quick work. I know that you should have had a job for 10, 20 years, but in one day, God can give you a job that is equivalent to 10 people's job. You see, the thing with God is that light comes in its various dimensions. It can come as restoration. It can come as healing. It can come as breakthrough. It can come as favor. It can come as speed. It is still light. I just named the many things that will start happening to you from tonight. For someone is peace. For someone is restoration. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Praise the name of the Lord. But the responsibility of crying and praying for light is your personal responsibility. Are we together now? Yes. You have to be angry with your current position. You have to be angry with the fact that your life has been ineffective as far as bringing glory to God, and insist to take responsibility that every area that looks like darkness in my life, list it down. Take responsibility. This is beyond just hearing a sermon. This finance, these wicked, evil, satanic dreams, this disfavor upon my life, that someone vows to bless me and then I go to his office and it's as if something came upon him to forget. What is the secret of favor? What is the secret of speed? What is the secret of restoration? How do I have 5 children and not one of them is risen and strong and able to bless me? Yet Psalm 112 said, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commands. He said, his seed shall be mighty upon earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. You take that responsibility. Hallelujah. The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 17:17. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the truth that translates as light and liberates the saints. Please hear me. I'm trying to be as simple as possible because I want everybody to understand. The truth that the Bible calls light is the word of God. But when you hear the word of God means many things. Number one, the word of God is truth as revealed from Scripture. The word of God also represents the speakings of God to you. Are we together now? Yes. So both the spoken word and the written word are profitable to give us stature, to bring us liberty, and to help us to command triumph and dominion in experience. Light. For instance, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. Light is coming now, and it shall come to pass, if thou, Joshua Selman, shall diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord, to do and to observe all his commandments which I commanded this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high. Listen to me. The first time I read this scripture, I was in one room, and I believed it. I believed it. I believed it. I believed it with all my heart. That if a man believes the word of the Lord and finds the secret that lifts men, you can be lifted above all the nations of the earth, and these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Let's list the blessings. I hope you are learning. Please give it to us. Blessed shalt thou be in Lagos. Is that not the name of your city? So why is everything rejecting you in Lagos? Why? Why is everybody running away from you? Why? You may be a man of God, but why is everything? You are sincere, you are working with integrity, loving the Lord, but it looks like nothing is working. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Next verse. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Please, mother, say amen. That means no woman is permitted to suffer and give birth to an armed robber or to give birth to a prostitute or a troublemaker that is plaguing society. The Bible says the fruit of your body is blessed. Blessed is the fruit of your ground. Regardless of the economic situation, this is what light says. Listen, you don't agree when you see it. You agree with God in believing and engage His word to see things change. Verse 5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Verse 6 now. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. I wish I had time. We can spend a whole day on this scripture. There are people who are only blessed when they go out. They are not blessed when they come in. There are people who are only blessed when they are in. They are never blessed when they go out. The Bible says a man who is truly blessed must be blessed when he comes in and blessed when he goes out. Whether you are in Lagos, you are in US, you are in Canada, you are in America, you are in your village, for as long as you are the one moving, the Bible says that blessing must follow you. And we saw that in the life of Abraham. When Lot left and went to settle near Sodom, the Lord told him, from where thou art, lift up your eyes northward, eastward, that everywhere your soul, you know, your eyes see, it shall be given. It's not like a vision that, I mean, what kind of thing? How can I be preaching in the name of the Lord, and then I'm done preaching, they obey me in church and oppress me in my room? What sort of authority is this? I knew that my authority was not, it was not yet established, and I had to go and fish out scriptures like arrows. There has to be a way. Behold, I give you authority, power over snakes and scorpions and all the powers of the enemy. Are we together? That we have been exalted with Christ far above principalities, powers, every name, thrones, dominions. Yes, sir. I put these things together and I meditated upon them. I believed it. I remember very clearly that night when the light entered my spirit. I didn't pray and ask the spirit to go. I pleaded with them. I said, show up again. Till tomorrow, they have not come. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to brag, but darkness only looks bold when it meets ignorance. There is a level of light, illumination, that shines upon your heart. You will see how cheap Satan is. Hallelujah. Oh, nobody rises in Lagos. If you don't know this man and this man, you will not rise. That is what darkness is, as bold as your ignorance makes it look. If you go for knowledge, you can rewrite the things that people say. The things I'm telling you, by the grace of God, I've proven it with my own life. So I'm not just here to waste your time and give you cunningly devised fables. This is true. Are we together? When light comes, it brings with it confidence. You know that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. The Bible says Gentiles shall come to my light. When I read it, I believed it. So I kept looking out for Gentiles until they came. And the Bible says it's not only Gentiles, even their kings will come. And I said, let me prepare, because their kings are coming. This is what I... Listen, your spiritual reality is dependent on the light, the truth that comes to you, that you know, you understand, and you believe. My assignment tonight is just to show you, we are diagnosing the problem. By tomorrow, I'll begin to show you the various light components that help a believer to stand victorious. Are we together? The assignment tonight is to just show us what is wrong. You know how a doctor... that every aspect of my life that is yet to represent the glory of God is only so because darkness is still somewhere looming around my life. If I can bring you to a point where you accept that responsibility tonight, you are ready for victory. Apostle, but I'm a hardworking person. This finance, I've done my best. The only thing I've not done is to steal. The money does not want to come to me. This is what I'm saying. Are we together now? There are parents who will not even give their own children money, and yet they will package it and come and say, man of God, I've been looking for you. I just want to bless you. And you are wondering, is this fair? But you see, our realities are defined by the light that we command. Hallelujah. I know a whole family, true story, a whole family that mysteriously just had HIV. Yes, whole family. And it started by someone having a dream where someone came with a syringe and said, this one is blood infected, and injected the person in the dream, and the person woke up physically. And then symptoms started, they went to the hospital and they said, you've had this for a long time, you did not know. How did it come? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about everything my Father has not planted in the name of Jesus Christ, whether it's in your blood and your body. I decree and declare it must go down this night. Are the keys that control dominion in experience. It's one thing to talk dominion, it's another thing to walk the reality of it. The dominion power of God has equal value in any nation, because the same Lord is rich unto all. There is something that when you find a body of truth, that when you find, ladies and gentlemen, you will command the anointing in a way that will surprise you. There is a body of truth that when you find, a generation must listen to you. There is a body of truth that when you find, you will become such a blessing to people. There is a body of truth that when you find, you will be called Beulah and Hephzibah, a delightsome land. There is a body of truth that when you find, you can know that no nation can reject you. It does not matter their sentiments. There is a body of truth that if you find, you will command wealth and abundance in a way that people would think you went to a herbalist or you caught a human head. Do you believe this? You are gathered tonight because God is determined to see to it that this, the products of light, speak in your life. But be angry with darkness. Right where you are seated, whether outside or inside, and those following online, I want you to imagine for 1 minute the various areas of darkness in your life that have refused to go and take responsibility. I have left it, that is why. The reason why a job has not come is because I have been going around dropping my CV, but I have not dropped my CV on the word. I am yet to find the component. The Bible says that one time the owner of the vineyard was inviting men to come to the vineyard. And he found some people idle. And he said, why sittest thou idle? They said, no man employ us. Immediately, he called them and they were brought in. See, the kingdom only works from the lens of the light you have. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Apostle, I'm a good person, but people don't like me. Nobody is liked by default. The world is too wicked for people to just like you by default. There is a grace, the light of God's favor that comes upon the face of a man. that will compel people to like you from nation to nation. But there is a body of truth that controls that. Do you understand my teaching tonight? That darkness is responsible for most of the chaos in our lives. And that this darkness is twofold. One, spiritual forces that militate against the purposes of God in your life. And then number two, darkness manifesting as ignorance. Bankruptcy of spiritual knowledge, bankruptcy of understanding is called darkness. Among the many disasters of darkness, the worst is that it gives you a false identity. This is not me. This life is not me. No, this reproach does not belong to me. I'm carrying another man's destiny. Where is my destiny? That destiny that represents beauty and color and grace and power. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
You must get angry at darkness and make up your mind. You're a man of God here. You must make up your mind by the Spirit that ministry must work for me. The Bible says to give diligence to these things to make your calling and your election sure. It is your responsibility to stop men from doubting the call of God upon your life. And you do that by studying to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. You are in business and things are not working. It's time for you to find out from the word of God. This is darkness. Every time you see what does not make manifest, what brings fear, what keeps spirits at work in your life, everything that is sponsored by ignorance is called darkness. And you must get angry in the name of Jesus and take responsibility. Why am I not able to feed and take care of my family? The Bible says any man that cannot cater for his family has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I am not an infidel, you say. What is this joblessness, this embarrassment? There has to be a way out. I will be on a journey searching for light. And that light shines through darkness. And in a moment, you drive away darkness only to give road to glory and grace and power. So Jesus looks at the man at Bethesda and says, stand up, pick up your bed, walk away. And that was the end of it. That is the light of the world. Hallelujah. You see, the beautiful thing about light is that true light does not fade. The sun has been shining before any of us arrived here, and it has never needed assistance. Your phone, because it was artificially made, you need to recharge it. No matter how bright it shines, some of us, your phone is on 4% now, 3%, one is almost, some is even off. You have, it can come back, but not for now. But the sun, when it is dark in Nigeria, as far as the sun is concerned, there has never been darkness in its economy. Darkness is simply a product of geography. If you ask the sun, where is darkness? You say, I don't know. From the day I was established, I have never seen it. It is simply the rotation of the earth that is responsible for that theory we have today. As far as the sun is concerned, it does not rise, it does not go down. Darkness, it does not share dominion with darkness. If you go and ask the sun to lecture you, the sun will say, from the time the earth was created, there has only been light. And you say, but you are lying. You say, well, based on where you live, but as far as I am concerned, as the sun. Are we together now? How do you tell the sun that there was once darkness? You say, I respect you, but you are lying. Based on my reality, you are lying. There has never been darkness. Kai, this is powerful. My goodness. So if your life becomes like that sun, even if you are in Egypt, there will be light in Goshen. Whereas there's darkness everywhere. And people will ask you and say, how is this happening to you? That we know that things, they are downsizing and this is happening, but it looks like you have used the word of God to create another kind of reality. Now you understand what it means by let your light so shine before men If God is asking your light to shine, light does not shine in light, it shines in darkness. Are we together now? There was a parable of the lost coin. There's no time to touch on that. We'll deal with that tomorrow. And the Bible says somebody who had a valuable treasure, coin. Coin can help you to buy things. And it was lost. It was in the room, but he could not find it. And for as long as he could not find it, there was nothing he could do. The Bible says the first approach to that restoration was the man lit his candle. Then number two, he took a broom and he started sweeping in the presence of light until he found it. And he called everybody and said, come and rejoice with me. Light has helped me to find something that is mine. It's in the room, but not in my hands. Light can help you find your job that is in Lagos, but not yet in your hand. Light can help you find your health that is around, but not yet in your life. Everything that should be in your life is already within your domain. It takes light to fish your portion and bring it to you. Hallelujah. Till today and till forever, I remain a student of Scripture. Do you know why? Because I'm on a project to not spare anything that looks like darkness in my life. I consistently upgrade. You see, you can have light, and yet your light is not bright enough. So you continue learning. You continue growing. You continue building. You don't say, I have a little light. Your phone has light, but it's not enough to light this place. So if you depend on your phone lighting, you will never know the beauty of this auditorium. It takes light, high-level light, placed at various positions. If you have light in only one area of your life, that will be the only area you will be able to see. You see that the lights here are placed across several places, and that's why they are giving us light. We can see everywhere the beauty of this auditorium. Ladies and gentlemen, you are going to cry unto God and say, this area of darkness that has dwelt in my life, that has dwelt in my finances, my marriage, my health, in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, I will still show you one more scripture to wrap up, but whilst you are seated, I'd like you to pray. Father, I am ready to deal with darkness. I am ready in the name of Jesus. Every spirit that represents darkness in my life and my destiny, now is the time and now is the moment you must leave. And I'd like you to pray. Every ignorance, bankruptcy of truth, that was the true light that lighted every man. Go ahead and pray. Someone pray. Shiva kapala kosa prande gebele. Yes, sir. The Lord is hearing you. Man of God, the Lord is hearing you. Hearing your cry. Darkness in ministry. Darkness in your health. Darkness in your finances. It's time for it to go. In the name of Jesus. That the grace and the glory of the Lord that has been ordained to radiate from your life, it must show up. I have allowed the reign of darkness for far too long. I now take responsibility. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him. Listen, let me tell you this. Years ago, I remember one day I was meditating on this scripture, and I'm saying this to the glory of God. And I remember in that vision, while I was meditating, it was a dream, I would say, and I slept and I saw myself standing before presidents of nations and shaking hands, and they were greeting. And when I came back, I said, wow. And then I read this scripture again, and the Lord told me that if you will get light, this will be your destiny, that you will stand before the great. Looking back today, I'm almost in tears, because God does not lie. You see, God does not lie. That the people you think are great will look at you and call you great, because light elevated you to an enviable position where you become an inspiration to generations. There are many things I do not believe, because if they are products of ignorance. For instance, that you cannot rise from where you are and then the world celebrate the grace of God upon your life. Please don't believe that. Are we together? Let's finish that scripture. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness. What did he call you into? What did he call you into? So when he calls men out of darkness, what makes you spectacular is not just the size of your body, not your voice, not necessarily your looks. It is that you are surrounded by marvelous light. So much light that darkness cannot come again. You don't tell darkness go, you tell light come. When light comes, darkness goes. Is that true? So many of us have dwelt in darkness for far too long. And the Lord is challenging you right now. Get angry. Identify the areas of darkness and insist that in this conference, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it must give way. There are many things that I wrap up that qualify to be called darkness. Let me list some of them for you in case you have forgotten. Are you ready? Number one, disfavor is darkness. Delay is darkness. Retrogression is darkness. Plagues of sicknesses and infirmity, darkness. Oppressions of witchcraft and all kinds of things, darkness. Stagnation, limitation, is called darkness. The inability to make constructive progress in your life, darkness. Financial limitation, darkness. Are we together? Threats that you go to bed and you cannot sleep in peace. You wake up more tired than you were when you slept because of evil and wicked dreams. The Bible says he giveth his beloved sleep. But there are people, the moment they close their eyes, they begin another battle. They get up tired. What kind of oppression is that? Darkness. How about some kind of demonic cloud covering your giftings? Listen, let me tell you. I have met gifted people in my life. There are gifted people in this city. There are gifted people even within this place. I have met gifted people in ministry, gifted people in business, so much so that you wonder, why are you at this level with this kind of gift? That some of the people you are celebrating are not half as gifted as you, but there are spirits that just sit on the glory of men and not allow them rise. Gifted but limited. This conference is an opportunity that God has put together so that that veil be lifted from your eyes. In the name of Jesus Christ. For some of you, we do not even know who you are, because you are standing from a position of darkness, and we cannot know whether you are the one God sent for us to bless and lead, because we cannot see you. I told you that darkness, it creates an aberrated identity. You don't know who is who. You might be looking for someone and stand near the person, but because it is in darkness, you cannot even know. Light is powerful. The Bible says that which makes manifest is light. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. When Jesus was born, there was a star in the sky. Is that in your Bible? That star was so bright, the Magi looked at it and said, no, this is not just that the atmosphere is bright. There has to be something. And they followed that light until they got to where Jesus was. That means there is a light that should compel men from wherever they are to say, what is making, there is an illumination in this church. There is an illumination in this family that they should come to right where you are. And Jesus, as a baby, he had not prayed, he had not fasted, there was just light over him. And gifts were already coming to him. Before he made mention of any first prayer, before he made mention of any first fasting, before he even understood those who would walk with him. As a baby, simply because there was a light upon him, the Magi came and they brought to him gifts of gold, of frankincense, and of myrrh. How do adults worship a baby and drop gifts as a baby? He could not even say thank you. That is the power of light. That when light is upon you, you will marvel and wonder at the things that men will do. They will leave any distance to any distance and say, are you the James they've been talking about? The Lord sent me to come and do this for you. And you will stand in awe and say, God, is this how you really move? And God says, that is what happens when you embrace light. Fight darkness. Reject darkness. Be on a campaign against darkness. Darkness, especially as ignorance. Make up your mind that I will not be a believer that is just saved and yet wallowing in ignorance, full of supposed wise sayings that do not carry any spiritual power. For instance, one day go better. That is not an accurate scriptural statement. It's just a sociological comfort. For instance, life is turn by turn. My turn is coming. See, those statements, you know, nobody's turn is coming anywhere. You force the time to arrive at your... I didn't get my point. Yes, there is a law of time and chance where potentials come towards you. But if it must be your turn, it happens by taking a... The Bible says right from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom suffered violence and the violent taketh it by force. No destiny helper will come by default to help you. It will take you programming your heavens for that to happen. This is true. Hallelujah. So tonight I have the assignment of challenging you to shake you up, to say, no, there is more to your life than this. You've been given all kinds of excuses. Leave those excuses this night. You're a man of God. You are a worship minister, and nobody has discerned your grace in Lagos. It's a different thing if you are in your season of training. If the season of training is over, just know that it is darkness keeping you down. And you get up and say, Lord, I will press in light. One song that will come from your spirit will make the nations to place a demand. Let me tell you, it's not difficult to rise when light is the one that is lifting you. If you try to lift yourself, you will be wasting your time. Hallelujah. I met a gentleman a few weeks ago where I was in Lagos ministering at a church, and I met this gentleman, very fine, brilliant young man, and I think he's responsible for one of these inventions, across the transport sector. And he was speaking to me, and I said, this guy is smart. This guy is very, very smart. And when he was telling me some of the things that he was doing with the governments of a few nations and all of that, I told him, I said, this is wonderful, but I want to pray for you. There is a grace called visibility. You see, if you do not have the grace for visibility, you can be as gifted as anything, and you will remain there. Like many people whose tables are full of the solutions to national and transcontinental problems, that if these men were called, whether in government or in certain corporations, the world will experience their wisdom and be grateful for it. Yet those people will remain there, those projects will rot on the table because visibility has not been given to men. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but in the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare again, whoever needs to see you, whoever needs to discern the workings of God in your hand and to lift you, may God position them to see you. May God position them to see you. Hallelujah. But now hear me please, and this one I will begin this night. One of the worst forms of darkness, the worst manifestation of darkness that I know of, is sickness and infirmity. Please listen. I've been sick before. I know what it means for your body or any aspect of your body to deteriorate and to be in pain. If you've never been sick before, you will not appreciate the power, the healing power of Jesus Christ. Darkness, you see, everybody is given the privilege of having one body per lifetime. Are we together? Yes. Nobody, as much as we know, science has not perfected the art of transferring a soul into another body. We've not seen that happen yet. So you are given only one body per lifetime. Please let me have your attention. Whatever happens to that body, it literally sustains the ability to end your life, whether your time is there or not. And how many of you know that the only authorization you have to remain upon the earth is that, not that you have a body, that your body is healthy enough to keep your spirit in it. Are we together? There is a threshold health requirement that if your body goes below, your spirit will have to leave, whether it is your time or not. Are we together now? That means anything that tries to disturb the health of your body is attempting to administer death to your life, and you should not tolerate it. Are we together now? This is very important. We have all kinds of sicknesses that disturb people and rob them of the liberty to enjoy beauty and color. The man called Hezekiah, great king, and yet this man was about to die. And the prophet came and said, put your house in order, you are going to die. And he said, no, God, you, whatever it is that you do, cannot allow the dominion of darkness. No wonder the Bible says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed. There is a spirit that is wasting the lives of people across. You see vibrant, strong people. My head, and the next thing, they say the person has gone. Now, I am not getting you emotional. If you've lost a loved one, that's fine. But I came here to on an assignment, and one of it is that this plague of sickness, infirmity, and death, these are spirits, and like any other form of darkness, they can be kept at bay. Are we together now? This is true. You have to believe it. So I used to have these demon spirits come to press me years ago, literally like you're pressing someone to die. And I'm wondering, what did I do? Until I found out there are people who had that experience and never woke up again. They just said the person went to bed and died. It's only if you have an opportunity to go to heaven that the person will say, I did not die, I was killed. These wicked spirits from the realm of the spirit. No devil will take your life before you. Hallelujah. I know of a young man who graduated, very fine young man, true story. He came to collect his certificate and was on a bike, and a car just came out. I don't know whether the man was all right or not, and just cleared. He died instantly. The only son of his mother. Hallelujah. If you are here and you have that kind of story in your family, when we begin to pray, I'd like you to believe that that satanic plague must leave you. That the last death that occurred around your family is the last. Don't say it always happens. No. By light, I end this demonic, satanic manifestation. Hallelujah. You know how many times people have seen me dead? I refuse to die. That's why I'm alive. Sometimes I'd want to take a trip, and sincere people, anointed people, will say, Apostle, please don't go. We've seen a ghastly motor accident. But I have to go and minister. These people are waiting. What do I tell them? I can't come for your conference because they said I would die. What am I coming to preach then? Who am I coming to help? So some of you are like, Apostle, don't speak like this. So speak like that. That is exactly the fear I want to drive out of your life. It says, and to deliver them who through the fear of death have all their lifetime been subject to bondage. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The righteous are as bold as a lion. But your boldness is not based on nothing. Your boldness is based on light. That you can stand with light and stand in peace and know that in the name of Jesus, the word of God will work for me. There's nothing the devil can do about a man who has found light. His assignment is to stop sufficient light from getting to you. But once that light has arrived, you will arise and then you will shine. It's in your Bible. It says, arise from the depression and the prostration that circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. You see, if you refuse light and I accept light, your refusing light does not affect me. Are we together now? When it has to do with the ministry of light, it is personal. I can only encourage you, but surrounding yourself with the light that gives you victory is entirely your responsibility. Hallelujah. So tonight, within the few minutes that we have, I'm going to speak over your life. And then for every of the sessions, we'll do this. This plague of sickness and death. And death. We're about to enter what we call the Ember Month. It has even become it's almost like an unwritten season. So once they say Ember Month, people begin to shake and say, so this is it. Who is going to go now? Must somebody die? Because it's the Ember Month. I hope you are not angry that I'm challenging you. I came to provoke in your spirit to say, this year, I will not lose any of my loved ones. That in the name of Jesus Christ, you must insist that by the power of the Holy Ghost. And while you are saying it, the devil will be telling you, but they diagnose something. Every tree that has not been planted by my Father, that is the confidence of the believer. Now, every tree that has not been planted, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Man of God, you will not die. That devil lying to you that you will preach and then die on stage, no, sir. With long life shall I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we are going to pray. I just sense strong in my spirit. I will speak over your life, but I want us to pray. I don't know why God is putting it in my heart to rebuke the spirit of death. In 1 minute or 2 minutes, you are going to mention both your name and everybody God has brought around you and declare the covering of the blood that you will not hear bad news. No death. Please, someone pray. Be serious. Outside, those following online, lift your voice and pray. The Bible says, with long life shall I satisfy you and show you my salvation. I shall not leave. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Someone pray. Pray. The sound of death, the sound of mourning will not be heard in my house nor my habitation. Someone with faith, pray. the name of your children. Hallelujah. Please look at me. In Jesus' name. We are still praying. It's not only men that can die. Things can die. Like a business can die. Like influence can die. Like reputation can die. So when I say prophesy life, it's not only life in terms of your existence. You will speak to anything that can have life. Whether it is your business, whether it is your influence, it will not die. Open your mouth and pray. Death will not be around my habitation. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Death will not be around my habitation. Whatever God does is forever. Yes, sir. Go ahead and pray. The works of your hands will not die. The influence God has given you, He says, I will bless you and I will make your name great. A man's name can die. Your relevance can fade away. But I'd like you to refuse. Pray in the name of Jesus. Preserve those appointed unto death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're still praying.
By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrected. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King.
We're going to pray. You know the areas of darkness in your life. Please look at me. Look at me. I don't want you to keep quiet and I don't want you to be ashamed and embarrassed. Every area where you have not seen results, genuine, consistent results, mention it by name and say in this conference, the darkness that sponsors the reign of that pain or that evil must give way. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. My life must bring glory to Jesus. My life must bring glory to Jesus. Contend in the name of Jesus. If it's your finances, mention it. You may not know what dimension of light, but identify the darkness there. You must change. Sickness up and down, oppression up and down, retrogression up and down. No. Joy today replaced by sorrow. Someone is praying. Someone is praying. Someone is praying. Someone is praying. Pray from the depth of your heart. It's a word and prayer conference. Make sure you are praying. Darkness, your time is up. Financial darkness, marital darkness, darkness in the area of fruitfulness, darkness in the area of career, darkness in the area of ministry. Someone who is angering your spirit, go ahead and pray. It must give way. The plague of divorce in this family, the plague of poverty and failure and sickness, untimely death, unfruitfulness in ministry, bankruptcy of influence and visibility, you must give way in the name of Jesus. disappointed expectations. Take a minute to pray. Take a minute to pray. Take a minute to pray. Shake parakatosiata. Of the balcony, are you praying? The overflows outside. Make sure you are praying. The Lord sees your heart. You are praying. Flesh may be weak, but the spirit is willing. God has spoken great things concerning you. Do not be silent. Pray. Go ahead and pray. Pray.
And I will not be silent, I will always worship you as long as I am breathing. I will always worship you,
and hallelujah. Say after me, Father. Please shout it. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare every manifestation of darkness in my life, it gives way now. Open your mouth and pray. Gives way now. Gives way now. Are there people of prayer here? It gives way now. Mothers, pray. Fathers, pray. Pray. The reign of darkness, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Please don't be tired. Something is happening in the spirit. Genesis 1:5. Genesis 1:5. Please help us, media. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, let me just read for sake of time. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So light has a name. Another name for light is day, and another name for darkness is night. And the Bible says weeping endures for as long as it is night. Once you are in darkness, crying does not come to an end. It says, but joy comes with the morning. That means it is not the chronological passage of time that causes day and night. It is the presence or the absence of light. It is night now, geographically speaking, but it can become day when you have light. Hallelujah. There are many of us, whether it is 12 noon, whether it's 6 a.m. in the morning, 6 p.m. in the night, 12 midnight, spiritually you are perpetually in the night because it is darkness. That is the reason why you cry in the morning, you cry in the afternoon, because weeping is connected to night. Hallelujah. The Bible says, "But joy comes with the morning." And morning is not 6 a.m. Morning is any time your life comes. Therefore, you are going to pray that in the name of Jesus, my heart is open to receive light. That is your next prayer point. Please open your mouth and pray. My heart is open to receive light. Understanding, spiritual illumination. Someone is praying. Lord, the light component it takes to arise and to shine, to reveal your glory to my world, that my life commands the excellency of the kingdom. I obtain that grace. My heart is open. My heart is open. Light that damages ignorance. Open. My heart is open. I see this conference as a spiritual investment that finally I have a chance to put together the truth, the light that will liberate me indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth." He never said being around the truth sets you free. He never even said having access to the truth sets you free. Ye shall know the truth. Ye shall know the truth. Ye shall know the truth. From tomorrow, we are going to be exploring the truth. The light component that is responsible for the various aspects of our Christian life. That at the end of these sessions you will stand, you can wave yesterday goodbye and know that it is gone for good and forever. In the name of Jesus. But for someone here who came with any kind of satanic medical report, just place your hand. I want to pray just to speak over your life. And then I will also rebuke the spirit of death. This thing is not leaving me. I will still pray it. When God is insisting on something like this, it's because he wants to avert tears from a family. This is why he has, if this is the only reason, it is worth it. You're trusting God for a miracle, just place your hand on your chest. Father, there are several people who have come inside and outside, many following online. They have come to access the truth and to know it. The truth that liberates, the truth that sets free. Right now I am praying, first and foremost, if there is anyone under the sound of my voice, you have been seeing dead people in your dreams. You go to bed and what you are interacting with dead people, things that have to do with the grave, I decree and declare, whatever from the grave is calling you and saying you must come and join us, I sever that relationship now. For the Bible says, what fellowship has light got to do with darkness? I'm saying it again. If there is anyone who is being called into untimely death by dreams, prophetic experiences, ill speakings of men, activities of witchcraft, I decree and I declare right now, this moment, here at New Heritage Baptist Church, in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, let the spirit of death live your life forever. And if you have seen any one of your loved ones, whether in dreams or visions, dying, we cancel it right now. Anyone here suffering any kind of blood disease? I'm seeing a thermometer rising and falling. High blood pressure. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command that BP to go down. Eye conditions be healed now. Any organ failure in your body. For some of you, the organ may be so failed that you may need a replacement. May God, who is the greatest physician, in the name of Jesus, let him bring you a replacement now. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. One of the truths in the kingdom is the power of the prophetic. When it is administered within the boundary of scripture, the prophetic can work wonders. I want to speak over someone that in the name of Jesus, for many of you, before you get home, I say this as one sent by God. In the name of Jesus, something that has not happened in your life from January till now, may it happen this night. May it happen this night. A call you have not received, may you receive it this night. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And for someone here, any long-standing issue in your life, it has refused to give way. Maybe health, maybe your job, problems in your office, maybe your spiritual life. In the name of Jesus Christ, tonight, as Dagon fell before the ark, let that problem fall before the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. For someone, you will wake up tomorrow with a text, with an email demanding for you from people who have rejected you. And I mean what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The kind of favor you have not seen from January till now. In the name of Jesus, my God, the one who helps men, I decree and declare, between tonight and this week finishing, may that favor testimony rest upon your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And for someone here, one of the blessings that you are receiving tonight is not just material, money, or favor. What you are receiving tonight is a restoration of your spiritual fire. A restoration of your spiritual fire. Because the truth is that God began to work in your life because of a glorious prophetic destiny. But somewhere along the line, either through carelessness or through discouragement, you just stop your walk with God, and it's like you dismiss yourself from the school of the Spirit. God is calling you to return back. In the name of Jesus. When I began my discussion, we shared the scripture that said God desires, number one, that all men be saved, and then that they come to the knowledge of the truth. I was so humbled and touched when I saw several people outside with their hearts hungry and open, and several others up the balcony and around here. I know that every time God allows for a people to come this way, it is because He adds daily as many as should be saved. The business of being saved is not just about Christianity. I have taught you, without that admission into the kingdom, you are perpetually a victim of Satan's darkness in its entirety. The authorized escape route from darkness and the authorized admission into the kingdom is Jesus. It is only through the living Christ that we have access to this life and this grace wherein we stand. I want to give an opportunity right now for two groups of people in one. Please let me have your attention. You are here and you are saying, Apostle, I need Jesus. I came for this conference, but whilst you were speaking, the Holy Ghost began to talk to me that I need to make it right with Jesus. Or you are here and you are saying, Apostle, I once made this decision, but sincerely, I cannot say in truth that right now my life is intact with God. I want to give you an opportunity very quickly. The hall is full, so I'm not going to ask you to come out. But what I will ask you to do very boldly, if we can, let's try it and see if it works. For those up the balcony who are making this decision, I would just want you to move forward and come just in front there. And then those in here, let's try to see if we can just squeeze one or two people at the aisles, because I need to see the people. Those outside, you will do the same. At least just move forward. Let someone, an official outside, just guide them on where to stand. After I lead you to pray, you'll be directed on what else to do. I want to count 1 to 5. Someone who is bold and not ashamed, come and stand. God bless you. Let's appreciate them. Come.
I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me.
2. Come.
I need no other argument. I need no other plea. That Jesus died and that He died for me.
I'm seeing an auditorium. I hope there are people from that hall who are coming to the front. If there are people, celebrate them as they come to the front. God bless you. The hall on the screen and every other place. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. 4. And finally, 5. I want to salute everyone who has come. If you are still coming, please move forward. I want to see you because I want us to pray together. Listen to me, beloved people of God. The Bible says, as many who will come to Him, He will in no wise cast away. It is the noblest thing to do in this side of God's kingdom to make this decision to accept the Lordship of Jesus as Savior and Lord and Christ. This is officially your admission into the kingdom, into a life of victory, into the kingdom of light, even His dear Son. So I'm going to lead you, young and old, you have come, declaring your faith in Jesus. As I lead you through this simple prayer, I want you to repeat after me. Those outside, I'm sure you can see and hear me. And for someone who is watching online, perhaps you are watching by way of television, following from the internet, or perhaps watching a rebroadcast, and the Lord is saying to come make this decision. Hallelujah. I know that you are being given cards now, but let me plead that you suspend filling the cards for a moment, and then I'll lead you to pray. When you pray, I'll direct you on what else to do. All of you who are in front, please let me ask you, lift your right hand high above your head as a sign of surrender and say this from the depth of your heart as loud and as clear as you can. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sin. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I am a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your wonderful hands lifted. Father, thank you for these precious ones. They have come declaring your Lordship over their lives. And the Bible says, as many who will come to you, you will in no wise cast away. I declare that you honor their profession of faith. And in the name of Jesus, we declare that you are recipients of eternal life. Indeed, the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over your life. From tonight, we call you sons of light. And we decree and declare that darkness is on its way out of your life, never to return again. In Jesus' name. Now, two instructions very quickly. Please, can you give me one of these cards just for you to see? Thank you. You'll be given a card like this. If you have not gotten a card like this, like the one I'm holding, please be patient. Keep standing until you are given a card like this. You'll be expected to feel the card. Please feel it as clear as you can. And then I'm sure that the one half most likely would be for you, whereas the other you would pass it to the counselors. Are they going to follow the counselors, or they just feel? Just a moment. Okay, so you're going to feel it while you're standing. Now, please don't go back to your seat with it. If they don't have pens, virus to write, someone do well. Be a good Samaritan. Help them with a pen so that they feel it right here in front. We're patient to allow you. It's yours. Please complete it, and then you hand it over to the counselors. And then I'm sure that afterwards you'll be back to your seat. And when they do call for those who just gave their lives to Christ, please do well to identify with them so that you can be followed up properly in Jesus' name. Now, just two instructions and then we're done. Tomorrow, there is a morning session, I understand. Let me encourage everyone, please and please, do your best as much as you can to be here. And if for any reason you are not able to be here, do your best to at least connect online. I believe that it will be online so that you listen, because tomorrow now we're going to begin to deal with the keys of the kingdom. And then, as we always do, I hope and pray that with the permission of Reverend, tomorrow night will be a miracle service where we'll take the time to really minister to the needs of people. Hallelujah. So I'm requesting in advance that all of you, number one, invite as many people. I'm sure that extra provisions will be made. And then please come with your prayer requests. I love to pray for people and their requests. Write your request. You can receive that of your loved ones who are not here. Those of you online, I'm sure that there should be the church link. The media team will make it available so that you can send in your requests. And tomorrow we'll have the time to pray, to minister to as many, and then trust God for a mighty move of His Spirit in this place. But for now, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord honor you in the name of Jesus Christ. Your victory as a result of light begins right now. In Jesus' name we have prayed. God bless you. Thank you.